And we're going to go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 45, and going to read 8 portions of verses there, and then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read one verse there, and I will preach from both texts this morning, and it'll be the Lord is going to help us today. Genesis 45 and 1, when you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him and cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept, Joseph wept, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled in his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry. Imagine that. Don't be mad. Tell your neighbor, don't be mad. What's wrong with you? Be not grieved, don't be angry with yourselves. I preach all night on that. That ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. That's powerful. God, for these two, you're okay. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Somebody say, wow. Proverbs 20 and 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. Recycled instruments. Recycled instruments. Would you bow your head? Would you pray the Lord would help us to be doers and hearers of His Word this morning? Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy, God. Lord, I know what You have given me, God, in prayer this week and what I've toiled with through the night, God. I pray, God, that what I feel in my spirit, God, in my pastoral preaching today, God, that You would allow me, God, with love, clarity, God, to preach to these people that I love, God, and I respect. And I pray You would help us to be doers, but God, help us to be hearers also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated too. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? That is so counterculture to us today. Because we think we know where we're going. I got it all figured out. I got a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. I got a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan. I got a 30 day, 60, 90 day money back guarantee. I got a plan. It can't go wrong. As they say, Noah built the ark. Professionals built the Titanic. You want to make God laugh? Give him your plan. Man's goings are of the Lord. Recycled instruments to treat. Recycled is to treat or process, use, or waste materials as to make suitable for reuse. To alter or adapt for new use without changing the essential form or nature. To use again in the original form with minimal alteration. To reuse or renew. To be subject to or suitable for further use. It's synonymous with convert. Sister Magallanes, it means to reclaim, to recover, to reprocess, to salvage, or to save. An instrument is, I think we know what an instrument is. It's something that is used for precision, Something can be delicate. It's a tool that is utilized. Have you ever lived in a town of garbage? Have you ever been associated with garbage or trash? I've heard of parks, and golf courses, even neighborhoods being built on areas that weren't the best soil. But I've never been around or lived in a place or in a city where the entire city was built on trash, garbage. That's just something that we couldn't fathom, something that we couldn't understand. But some 2,500 families live in Catura, Paraguay. And according to recent reports, it's the final dumping site for more than 1,500 tons of garbage each day. Families live in and on this mountain of trash. They reside in this dump. They live there. The people who live near, they live in what they would call the slum of Catura, Paraguay. They're very poor. They make their money to feed their families by finding things in the dump that they can sell. About 1,000 of these residents make their living each day by picking through the trash with long hooks called ganchos. Hence, these garbage pickers are called ganchoneros. Every day, these folks sift through the trash from the capital city and look for glass, bottles, plastic, and cardboard, anything that they can salvage and sell to make money. But a man named Fabio Chavez got to know this area and the kids that played in the landfill of this place that he worked at. Fabio Chavez got to know these kids and their families over 10 years ago, while working on the waste recycling project at the landfill of Catura, Paraguay. In this area, more than 40% of the children don't finish school because their parents need them to work. I, for one, I can relate to that a little bit. My grandparents only went as high as the second grade. Both of them, one first grade, one second grade, because they had to work. Being an environmental engineer, Mr. Chavez, but with a musical background, one day he decided to help the children by teaching them music lessons. He started out with 5 of his own instruments that he loaned out to the kids. The idea was to keep the kids from playing in the trash. But it began to be very difficult. Because what started out with 5 loaned instruments and 5 kids, and not having any place to practice, he found a way and a solution. They began to play and to practice, and he began to teach them right there in the dump yard, in the junkyard, or the trash disposal area. He would teach them music. The children knew nothing about music, and it was very difficult to contact parents because many of them do not live with their children. I quote, Chavez's classrooms became so popular they ran out of donated instruments. So he asked Nicholas Gomez, a talented carpenter in the community nicknamed Cola, to make new instruments for these children from the stuff in the landfill. Yes, trash was going to be used to create instruments that kids would play music with. Trash that people would throw away would end up in this site in Catura, Paraguay. This man, Cola, would use his skill, ingenuity, creativity to create instruments for children to play music on. The same trash that folks would throw out, someone else saw as valuable. The waste of trash and debris from oil cans, a meat tenderizer, and a discarded pasta making device was recycled, transformed, and today it's used as an instrument that Juan Manuel uses to play Bach's prelude of Cello Suite No. 1 on his cello. A flute made from tin cans, A drum set that uses x-rays as the skin. This is true story. Bottle caps that serve as the keys for a saxophone. A double bass constructed out of chemical cans. And a violin made with a battered aluminum solid bowl. And string tunes with forks. The recycled orchestra has played worldwide from some of the biggest names in the music industry today. They play folk tunes, Paraguayan music, and even a few rock and roll pieces. All from recycled trash. The trash was sent off. It was never imagined that it would be played and recycled to make musical instruments. And never in a million years did these folks think that they would be playing on some of the biggest platforms in the world. These redeemed instruments were once discarded as garbage, as throwaway. No value, not worth, no worth, crushed, damaged, broken, soiled, spoiled, and tattered. This trash from all various places, thrown away for various reasons, were forgotten. But one man, one musician, saw nothing is wasted, no matter how it looks, how it seems, how it smells, or what it appears. I come to preach to you today that some of us today have felt that people have thrown us away. They have isolated us. You may have felt ostracized. You may feel broken, bruised, tattered, wore out. You may feel like a used tin can, but God says, I can use you. I want to use you. There's hope. Feel like I'm building my life on a pile of dump. If God is building a house, it's not in vain. Yeah. The garbage was not wasted. You see, with God, nothing's wasted.
No.
You see, Mr. Chavez saw that the trash could be used and recycled for a purpose. See, the trash was deemed valuable in the hands of the right person. Man's ways are of the Lord. The scripture says that who are we to understand his own way? Our goings are of the Lord. This story that I started off with, there's a lot of similarities to us today. Because what one would deem as a throwaway or trash, a has-been, a one-hit wonder, in the hands of the right in the person, our Heavenly Father, nothing's wasted.
Right.
You see, Joseph was born to Jacob. Joseph's name means may God add or increase. Joseph was the second youngest of his 11 brothers. He was the great-grandson of Abraham. His grandfather was Abraham. Can you imagine the pressure that was? Your grandfather was Abraham. Joseph was the favored one amongst his brothers. He was the loved one. There's scripture for that. That's in the Bible. We're introduced to Joseph in Genesis chapter 30, verse 23. But there's 13 chapters in the book of Genesis that are devoted to his life. It was probably pretty important. Joseph was a dreamer. He was a dreamer of dreams, but he was also an interpreter of dreams. Joseph endured some very difficult times. He was 17 years old when he was sold off into slavery. Imagine being sold off into slavery by your own flesh and blood simply because they didn't like you. And the reason they didn't like you is because dad loved you more. No bueno. And the only reason you were sold off was because one brother stepped in and said, hey, we're not killing him. Let's sell him. See, the other brothers wanted to kill him. But one brother said, we can't do that. Let's sell him. So, death or a slave. That was his fate. His brothers, you could read this in Genesis. Joseph's brothers hated him because his father loved him. This selling off into slavery, being enslaved, it took him to a place called Egypt. He became an immigrant, 17 years old. Not because he wanted to, but because he was forced to. But the scripture tells us in Genesis 39 and 2, God was with Joseph in Egypt. The scripture also tells us that he prospered while he was in Egypt. In fact, the scripture tells us in Genesis 39 and 3 that the Egyptians saw that the Lord was with Joseph. See, even your haters can see that the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Joseph was a man that was favored by God and men. But he finds himself in prison. Genesis 39 and 20, Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, accused him of something that he did not do. She even says this Hebrew made sexual accusations against Joseph, and he finds himself in prison. Joseph spent 13 years as a slave and or in prison in Egypt. He experienced a series of emotions like no other. Maybe you've experienced some of these, but he experienced loneliness and isolation and rejection. Maybe even a little fear and confusion. Could you imagine this morning being Joseph? A Hebrew living in Egypt, not understanding the language. But you did nothing to deserve what was taking place in your life. He was a man without a family. He was despised by his own flesh and blood. And throughout his life, one thing remains constant about Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. In fact, we see this in a series of events and verses in the book of Genesis. And I'm building a big foundation this morning so I can get hammer some points home. But Genesis 39, 1 and 2. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian brought him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Consider this. You may be facing dire situations today. Perhaps you face rejection. Maybe you're living in a state of rejection right now. Maybe you're facing isolation. Maybe you're dealing with isolation. Maybe you've been misunderstood. You've been misrepresented by people. Maybe you can't get a grip as to why you're walking through the trial, the tribulation, or the season of life that you're going through. Can I remind you that the Lord is with you? The scripture says, man's goings are of the Lord. He causes the rain to fall on the good and on the bad. But just like your path is of the Lord, He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. I tell you this morning, just roll with it. He's got an end in mind. You can be that recycled instrument someday, or maybe in the midst of it now, that He can use to make beautiful music for the situation of somebody else at a later time. And you could say, I didn't always play this song. I didn't always have this smile. I didn't always have this joy. I didn't always have this ministry. I didn't always live in this house. I didn't always have this money. I didn't always have this family. But God used a recycled instrument. He used me for His glory, and He's been with me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Just roll with it. Tell your neighbor, just roll with it. Notice what happens to Joseph. Genesis 39 and 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. That's powerful. Let me tell you something. Sometimes others are blessed because of you.
Right.
Well, let me go on this side. Maybe they're a little bit more. Sometimes others are blessed because of you. You better be careful how you treat folks.
Yeah.
What you say about them.
Yeah.
Maybe you're blessed because of them.
That's right.
How about this side? Maybe you're blessed because of them.
Right.
We're all people. We're all God's people.
Yeah.
Maybe God positioned you to spare them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe God positioned them to spare you.
Right. Mm.
That's a promise. I will bless them that bless you.
Yeah.
And I will curse them that curse you.
Yeah.
And all the nations shall be blessed.
Yeah.
That's a prophetic word. The promises of God are yes and amen. Maybe some folks are in your in your path to spare you from disaster.
Yeah.
Spare you from yourself.
Because
you get crazy all by yourself.
Yeah.
You give a whole new meaning to the name loco. Because when you're around them, you're on the straight and narrow. They keep you in check. That ministry that you're leading, you're a part of, you that you want to get rid of, maybe that ministry is what's keeping you holy and keeping you grounded and keeping you pray through. You say, well, I'm going to just get rid. Hey, God is with you. Your goings and your comings is because of the Lord. Not your talent, not your education, not your background, not where you've been. It's because of the Lord. Well, moving on. Get to my point. Genesis 39 and 23. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife. See, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Ha! And showed him mercy. And gave him favor. I like that part. Notice verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Yeah.
You see, some of us are in bad situations, and you're looking for people to bail you out.
Right.
Yeah. Go to God to bail you out.
I got to go to this class. I got to get this taken care of.
Yeah.
Hey, how about just being faithful to the Lord?
Amen.
Real relationship with the Lord. He'll help you. Sure, we need education, trained professionals and classes. But guess what? The first thing we got to get right is the heart. We got to get their heart right. That'll be a consolation for all of us this morning. That even if you're being accused of something, which we all are, right? I'll give you scripture for that. Revelation 12. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Yep.
He's always accusing you of something.
Yep.
We didn't worship. You didn't show up for that. You didn't talk to that person on your job. And you forgot somebody's birthday. You're supposed to be a Christian. You didn't give enough in the offering. You slept in last Sunday morning. What kind of Christian? He's always accusing you of something. If the devil's talking, guess what? He's lying. So let him talk. God's with me. I'm a recycled instrument. God's not done with me. He's still working on me, baby. And the Lord is with me. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I like what verse 6 says, that we can boldly say,
yeah,
the Lord is my helper.
Yeah.
And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because there's always a greater purpose than the pain that we're in.
Exactly.
Sometimes we can't even fathom it ourselves. But as the proverb writer says in Proverbs 20 and 24, man's goings are of the Lord.
Amen.
How can a man understand his way? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a reason. What are you teaching me, Lord? What is it you want me to see? Who is it that I need to meet? What is it you're trying to break? What is it you're trying to create in me? What is it that I didn't get the first time, but you're taking me back one more time through the midst of it again? It's the same situation, just a different year and different people, different city, different church, different clothes, but it's the same problem. I haven't overcome it because you're a recycled instrument that he's fine-tuning. You may feel like you're not worth it. You may feel that I'm so beautiful, and God saying, nah, I gotta break that down. You're not as good as you think, because your goings is what I want. You need to yield yourself to me so I can let you make music that will bring salvation and hope and trust and a testimony to somebody else.
Thank you.
We come to the scripture setting this morning. We see that there's a totality of the plan that God had for Joseph begins to come to realization. You see, I skipped over a bunch of stuff on purpose. So I want you to go back this week and read it. But one thing that when we get up to Genesis 45, Genesis chapter 41, there's a famine in the land. And not just in the local city where Joseph lived, but according to the word of God, it was everywhere in that area. Genesis 41 and 56 says, "And the famine was over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph." To buy corn because that famine was so sore in all the land. Joseph was a recycled instrument that was being sought by everybody. Imagine that. This throwaway enslaved man that was despised and rejected by his own family, that was falsely accused by a lady, ends up in prison, and somehow ends up in the palace in a place of position. And I'm going to leave that blank there, so you go back and read your Bible why that happened. But he finds himself in the palace with Pharaoh, and there's a famine in the land. And the scripture says, I'm not saying this, the Bible says, the famine was over the face of the earth, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph. We need food. Go see Joseph. This slave, the one that was in the pit, the child that his father thought was killed, tragedy. He was despised. He was accused. Man had spent time in prison. The kid that was favored by dad but hated by his brothers was now the recycled instrument being sought by everybody.
Yeah.
Being used by God and everybody seen it. See, you don't have to worry about being elevated by man. Because the scripture says promotion cometh from God.
Yeah.
What you do in secret will be exposed in the public platform at the right time.
Yeah.
Recycled instruments. These instruments were taken to a dumping ground in Paraguay, but in the hands of the right person was formed to make saxophones and cellos and trumpets that the whole world knows about it now. But it's trash. True story. Google it yourself after church. You'll see it for yourself. Musical instruments being played. But Joseph, no different today than some of us. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Famine reaches Joseph's family in Genesis 42. His brothers, their families, his father Jacob. Jacob tells his son to go to Egypt and go buy some food. We got to eat so we can live and not die. Genesis 42 and 5 says, "And the sons of Israel," or Jacob, "came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land." Can you imagine that? "And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth." This was a reunion that was taking place. They were all invited because they had a divine appointment. Joseph's brothers come to buy food from Joseph. The teenage brother that they sold off as a slave, instead of killing, was now the man in charge. This recycled instrument of God is so wise. Joseph is so mature and profound in his statements and response when it all comes out. Hence our scripture text and the reason I built such a long platform this morning to preach on for the next few minutes. Joseph could not refrain himself. He tells everyone to go out. Genesis 45 and 1, we read it. And he weeps aloud that everybody hears him. See, it's okay to cry and for people to hear you.
Yeah.
Well,
because
not everybody that cries is sad or is hurting or is in pain. Sometimes there's tears of joy and satisfaction and relief and thanksgiving. Just because somebody comes down to the front and to the altar and lifts their hand and cry doesn't mean they're in sin, doesn't mean they're backslid, doesn't mean they did something bad last night. It could just be, I'm so awe of God's mercy and love, and I'm so thankful at the joy that I feel and casting my burdens on the Lord because I'm a recycled instrument that God is going to use. Joseph tells his brothers, come in here and see me. He says, don't be angry. Don't grieve with yourselves that you sold me. For God didn't send me to before you. Or God sent me before you. And the reason why God sent me before you was to preserve life. We could play on those words, preserve life. If it was a Wednesday night, I would break it down. But he said, God sent me here in Egypt to preserve life. Don't be grieved. Don't be angry. Don't beat yourself up. He said, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in there, to preserve you from the famine. Notice, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God, and He hath made me a father, a Pharaoh, and the Lord of all this house. In the midst of it, Joseph matured. Joseph said, you know what? Don't be mad. Don't be sad. He even tells him later on, don't argue amongst yourself when you go back to see Dad. Just bring him here. Bring everybody here. I wonder what part of the process of Joseph's life was the humbling, was the remembering what God had told him, where it began to develop, when it began to grow. I wonder if Joseph, maybe he was a prideful kid. Maybe he walked around with his coat of many colors and said, woo, look at me. I'm the favored one. And he had a proud spirit. Maybe he did. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but maybe he was. Can I tell you, maybe you're struggling with pride, and the reason you're going through what you're going through, God is saying, you're an instrument that I can use, but I got to recycle that pride out of you. I got to break it down, because the scripture says pride is an abomination and a lying tongue God despises. And pride cometh before a fall. And the scripture says that God doesn't like those things. But the scripture also says that God, man's ways is the doings of God.
Yeah.
And so we pray and we testify, to be like Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, say, you want to be like me?
Uh-huh.
I got to break you down.
Yeah.
But Joseph tells him, don't be angry. Don't be grieved. How profound. Joseph, with these brothers and their deviant behavior and their selfishness, endured torment and isolation and weariness, emotional distress, accusation and humiliation. But in the end, Joseph says, hey, it wasn't you, but it was God.
Yeah.
He didn't quit. He didn't bail out.
No.
He didn't compromise. He didn't hold a grudge. He didn't demand that they bow down. He wasn't vindictive. He didn't say, I'm going to get even. He didn't say, oh, you guys got to pay double. You want food? You got to pay double, man. Yeah. Nah. He didn't parade them throughout the streets and whip them. He didn't kill them. In the end, Joseph said, God sent me here to preserve you and to save you. Notice, they tried to take his life.
Yeah.
And in the end, he's saving their life. Because if they didn't get food, they would have died.
Yep.
Joseph's saying, everything I went through, God sent me here to save you. I am the recycled instrument that God is using.
Amen.
To save you from an impending famine. An instrument that God was using for the salvation of others. Here this man, Joseph, who was a castaway and rejected and enslaved and in prison, understood Proverbs 20 and 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Trash is thrown away every single day. All day long we throw away garbage. Used things, water bottles, paper, cans. These things are taken to the dumpster or waste disposal and sifted through. And these materials are used again for an intended purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, you have an intended purpose.
Yeah.
You have value. You have worth. You may not understand what it is you're going through, why you've had to endure some of the things, why you've encountered, why you've had the sleepless nights, why this and why that. What I can tell you is that man's goings is of the Lord. We're not always going to understand it. We could just roll with it. Be the recycled instruments that God would use. You see, the old used oil can that the boy Juan Manuel is playing box rendition on of whatever that was on his cello. I would walk by it and say, that's garbage. But in the hands of the right person, Brother Ramon, They're able to create something that could be used and it has value. The reason why Chavez and Cola used the trash was because it was at their disposal. But one of the benefits of using that was because the robbers and the thieves wouldn't steal it, nor would it be a temptation to sell it off for money. Couldn't put a price on that saxophone made out of bottle caps. Something, saints of God, you just have to go through. You cannot put a price tag on experience.
No.
You cannot put a price tag on trials and tribulations. Some things you just have to endure and grit your teeth and hold on and say, Pastor, preach to me, and church, pray for me, and God, speak to me through your word, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to sleep in. I'm not going to forsake. I'm not going to talk the talk, but I'm going to walk the walk, because we're recycled instruments. I may sound like I'm playing out of tune, and you may be playing out of tune, but someday there's going to be music that's coming through, and somebody's going to hear that and say, you know what? That minister to me, your testimony, bless me. The word that you gave me, bless me. The Bible study that you taught me, bless me.
Yeah.
Recycled instruments as the musicians come. Joseph teaches us that though we cannot change circumstances, you cannot control what happens to you.
Right.
But God's ways are not dictated by man. I know we find that hard to believe at times. God uses people as instruments to fulfill His purpose.
Yeah.
We have scripture where God even used a donkey.
Yeah.
Because He needed somebody that was available. Well, my skills aren't appreciated. Well, maybe your attitude is the problem. God will use a donkey. Joseph demonstrated how God forgives and showers us with goodness. Even though we sin, we fail, and we mess up. If there was anybody that Joseph, from a human standpoint, Mr. Coronado, had every reason and would have been justified to chastise and to be vindictive and get revenge for, was his brothers.
Yeah.
But he looks at him and says, don't be angry. Don't be mad. God sent me.
Yeah.
To save you. As we stand this morning, when others intended evil for you, when others leave you hanging, when you're knee deep in a trial, you're having a rough time, struggling with temptation, you're struggling with holiness, you're struggling with submission, maybe you're struggling with faithfulness, remember, you're a recycled instrument that God is using and He has an intended plan for. I wonder, in what part of the process was the governor Joseph created? We sure know it wasn't the 17-year-old boy. Was it the 13 years in prison? Was it the slave? Was it being in Egypt? Was it in Potiphar's home? It was all of it. All of what you're going through, nothing is wasted. You may feel like a tin can this morning. You may feel and look like $1 million. You may be $1 million. But I assure you, God's still working on you. I assure you, I promise you, the Lord tarries. You will go through a trial. You will go through a tribulation. There will be a test. And you will need this message someday and say, you know what? Man's goings are of the Lord. And I gotta roll with it. And I gotta be faithful. Would you lift your voices to the Lord this morning? The Lord is speaking to one and all. Maybe you're here this morning, everything is awesome. You're at the pinnacle of your life. Life is good, money's good, ministry's good, finances is good, relationships good, kids are doing great. I assure you, God's still working on you. Maybe you're like so many others that have come tonight and said, "Got it. I got to do better. I need to do better. Biggest problem is myself. My biggest fear is myself. I overthink things. I analyze it. I'm impulsive. I hold grudges. I got things from my past that restrict me. I'm grumpy. I'm grouchy. I get mad. I have a problem with change. I hold on to my past. I'm not in a religion. Well, I'm not in a religion either. I'm in a relationship with the Lord. I invite us to the altar this morning. Come on, this place ought to be filled with people praying and say, God, use me. Help me to be better. If you're here today, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You haven't received the baptism of God's Spirit. You can receive it this morning. If you haven't been baptized, if you need a Bible study, we'll help you. But all, one and all, would you find a place to pray? Would you talk to the Lord this morning? My cup is empty, but God, you can make it overflow. Come on, RT, would you pray? Would you find a place to pray? Would you find someone to pray with? Recycled instruments. Let Him use you. My cup is empty. Use me.
You can make it over. Here's my cup.
What's He breaking down in your life?
Here's my cup.
What's God breaking down in your life?
Let the overflow.
What needs to be recycled?
Make my heart complete. I need overflow.
Jesus.
Let it overflow.
What needs to be recycled?
Overflow.
Come on.
I need overflow. Overflow.
What's got to be crushed? What's got to be broken?
Overflow.
Oh God. Come on, let's minister one to another. You may not be going through a trial, but someday you will. You may not be broke today, but someday that might be you. You may not be lonely right now. Your cup may be overflowing, but next Sunday you might not be. Tomorrow, you could be hit by a car.